It's that time here in Spain where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well indeed.
Good.
Now, Spanish tax authorities have been cracking down on false residency in Gibraltar, as I understand. Mm. Now, we've talked about this several times over recent years, about how Spanish tax authorities have stepped up their efforts against tax fraud. And I suppose, silly question really, is this still the case?
Well, I think, you know, if you read English language newspapers, if you read the Spanish newspapers, in particular ABC, you'll find that there's lots of news about the manner of the crackdown, if we can call it that, on tax fraud. And recently, a more focused campaign on individuals who have announced themselves as residents of perhaps Gibraltar or Andorra, or even Portugal, and who actually don't reside in those countries but use it as a convenience because there's less of a tax liability. People who live in Andalusia, for example, and claim to be tax resident in Gibraltar are under the microscope right now.
Mm. One thing they say they're going to do is crack down on this false residency. Can you explain what that is exactly?
Yeah, I mean, the Hacienda has earned recently, it claims, up to around 20 million euros from what they describe as regularising, you can read that how you like, but regularising the status of 160 high net worth individuals who have been claiming tax residence in Gibraltar, but on investigation appear clearly to be resident in Andalusia. And as a consequence, they have become liable for Spanish tax. The Spanish tax authorities have taken enormous strides over recent years. You know, and I know, Howard, how 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when we were doing these interviews, how easy it was to evade tax illegally in Spain and be pretty much outside of the area of risk. That is not the case anymore. So over the last few years, the crackdown on tax evasion has increased revenue enormously. And as you know, Spain needs to improve its economy still. There are a number of new initiatives within Spain, and they've adopted new information technology to make it easier to find those who aren't actually following the Spanish tax rules correctly, as well as to analyse the tax affairs of wealthy individuals with interests in Spain. Now, you know, in addition to looking for those who have failed to declare all their income, including their overseas income and assets, they're also focused on, as you say, these false residency claims. And as I say, mainly for those people who live in a low taxation territory like Gibraltar, Andorra, to avoid paying higher taxes in Spain. And the Andalusian Tax Agency is having considerable success with their investigations. On the 20th of May this year, the Spanish newspaper ABC reported that the tax agency is tightening the net on Gibraltar and has recouped about 20 million as a result of tax inquiries. And the article went on to describe how they call it fairly common for foreign nationals to live in high-value residences in the Costa del Sol, but who are registered as residents in El Peñón, the Rock.
Yeah.
Now, being a resident of Gibraltar, it means you don't pay any Spanish income or wealth tax. It also has been alleged that these people are hiding their property ownership behind complex corporate structures to avoid paying notional rental income tax as non-residents and the property transfer tax when they sell it. So, you know, the article called these people free riders, using the system with little or no consequence. But then, as the Spanish tax authority has begun to tighten the net on these Gibraltarian residents in particular, enjoying a tax-free life in effect in both jurisdictions, they have begun to pick up these people. I think when these 160 people who have been, if you like, recategorized as Spanish residents, brought in 20 million in tax, that sounds like a lot of money, but really it's only 125,000 euros. That's also a lot of money, but 125,000 individually on average. And in most cases, the debt of tax was payable immediately by an assessment raised. And if it goes unpaid, you end up with a charge on your property, which means you can't do anything with it. It'll end up in the auction if you don't do something about it. And some of those individuals are also being prosecuted for tax evasion in both Malaga and Cadiz, as I understand. So, you know, it isn't any longer sensible to have a forced residence, because if you have, it may end up being a millstone around your neck.
Yeah, times are changing. So then, Bill, can you remind our listeners what the tax residence rules are in Spain?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of components to your tax residency. I think most people know that if you spend more than 183 days in Spain cumulatively, that means it doesn't have to be consecutive days, it's just in total in a calendar year. If you spend more than 183 days, then you are de facto a resident of Spain for every purpose, tax included. I mean, some temporary absences can be ignored, but you have to prove that you're habitually resident elsewhere for 183 days. So that becomes a challenge. Very often, the challenge comes to an individual who thinks that they have met that condition of less than 183 days, but where they are attacked is where what is called their centre of economic interest is in Spain. And that means where they have most of the conduct of their business. If you earn more income or have more assets in Spain than any other single country, Spain will be deemed to be your centre of economic interest. If your centre of vital interests is in Spain, that is to say, if your spouse, your common law partner, even your dependent minor children live in Spain, you will be presumed to be a Spanish resident even if you spend less than 183 days in Spain. So it is vital now that you take appropriate advice in relation to the period of time you spend in Spain. I mean, most of the people I suspect listening to this radio interview spend more than 6 months in Spain and they're resident there. But don't be complacent, because there have been lots of tax changes over the last few years, and you need to be sure that you're meeting all of the tax requirements. I met someone recently who said, oh, they couldn't be bothered to complete the Modelo 720, it just seemed like a nuisance. Well, if you don't complete it and you're found not to have completed it, the fines and penalties for not doing so are substantial. So you need to make sure that, given all the changes that have taken place, that you're up to date with the tax laws that now apply, and that you're living and working in consequence of them, rather than them finding out that you haven't.
Yeah. So, Bill, do you think the Common Reporting Standard will help the Spanish tax authorities with their efforts?
Yeah, I think, you know, the tax authorities throughout a number of jurisdictions are already benefiting from this new automatic exchange of information regime. Just this year, Spain became one of over 100 countries who will now share information automatically on taxpayers' assets and income. So if you have a bank account in one country, an investment account in another country, and you're a resident of Spain, those countries will be reporting back to the local tax authority on your financial affairs. And so you don't, you, there's not very, I mean, tax secrecy has really gone to a large extent. So the financial institutions who are reporting this data across all the countries include, you know, your banks offshore, any custodians or trustees, the holding of your investment funds. I mean, certain insurance companies, trusts and foundations. I mean, and the information that's being exchanged now at the press of a button includes your personal data, your name and address, the country of your tax residence, your tax identification number, your NIE. Information about your accounts will include any investment income you've earned, interest and dividends. So, you know, the detail is enormous. And with all this information combined, the new system that's now in place will work as a big data container capable, really, of estimating the total wealth of every taxpayer in Spain. The technology age in which we live makes it very simple to track individuals and to determine what their lifestyle means in relation to the income they've declared. I mean, this issue of false residence, you know, of assuming and pretending that you live in Gibraltar when you actually live in Spain. I know they've used number identification cameras on the border between the two countries, and that they've used that to interpolate one to the other to find out why someone is visiting Gibraltar on a regular basis for this, that, and the other purpose. So, you know, the authorities and the technology that's available now is really right behind us, and you need to pay attention to that so that you understand what the rules are and that you work within those rules to your best effect.
Yeah. So what's your advice, Bill, about tax planning in today's world?
It's increasingly complex, Howard. You know, it isn't a straightforward DIY opportunity tax planning. Within a business like Blevins Franks, which has been providing tax solutions, tax planning solutions, and investment management and wealth management solutions to clients for nearly 40 years, the truth is that even the brains within the business need to keep on top of what's going on a day-to-day basis. It's almost impossible for an individual to maintain a current awareness of all of the fine nuances that exist within the tax legislation. And one of the great advantages of taking independent and objective tax planning advice from a business like Blevins Franks is that you at least have the facts in front of you upon which you can then base your judgments about what you're going to do. I mean, I've said this to you before, but we don't know what we don't know, if you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, it's much better to have a knowledge about what is in front of you and what the rules are, and then to understand how you might use those rules legitimately to reduce your income, your capital taxes, your likely inheritance taxes, but within the law. And the only way you can do that really is by having solid, professional, topical advice.
So how can people get in touch with you, Bill?
I think initially the best means of contact, frankly, is through the internet. You can go to the website at www.blevinsfranks.com. And on that site, you'll find access to the Spanish offices. The details are there. There's bound to be one pretty close to where you are living. The guys who work within Blevins Franks are all living and working in the same environment that you are. And I'm sure that if you need further information, any one of the offices that you care to contact would be very pleased to hear from you.
Good advice as always, Bill. We'll talk at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.